This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. Ryan, are you looking to boost your immune system?
I'm so ill that I fainted right before we turned the show on.
I hate to hear it, but I do think I have a solution. Introducing Mighty Muscadine, king of the superfruits.
Sounds like a superhero.
Well, these guys are practically superheroes. Every single one of their products are packed with organic polyphenol content, essential micronutrients, and I'm telling you, these grapes are just dripping with antioxidants designed to strengthen your body's defenses. It's going to help you stay resilient all year round.
And these guys have everything. They have grape juice, they have all natural energy shots, protein powders, they got seed oil, toothpaste, body lotion, shampoo, and here's the best part. You can use promo code TODAY, that's T-O-D-A-Y, to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, use promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products.
And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. So don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now, that's mightymuscadine.com, and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y. A healthier, happier you is just a click away. With that said, let's start the show.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is Friday, December the 29th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
And you can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. You can leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. We're going to leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can do just that. Today's verse of the day is coming to us from Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. It says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment."
Jesus is so expert in his response to the Pharisees here, because they're trying to trap him. Which is Moses' greatest commandment? And if he picks one, then he's neglecting the others and like, ha, gotcha. But Jesus summarizes the first four commandments in this one.
That's right.
That's why he says this is the first commandment, because all the first four commandments are about our vertical relationship, our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And so that puts in proper perspective every other relationship in our lives. Our primary relationship should be our relationship with God. If we neglect that one, all of our other relationships are going to suffer. Your marriage, your relationship to your kids, your friendships, your work relationships, they will all suffer if your first relationship, your primary relationship with God is not right.
Yeah, most of this week we've been talking about things that we want to do for the glory of God, things that we're getting in line, getting our ducks in a row, prepping for the new year, setting goals, all the things that we do ultimately do, like Ryan said, have to do with that vertical relationship that we have with God. Like, I'm not creating an album, Ryan's not writing books, but Dr. Shah's not doing his scholarly research so that we can build names for ourselves. It's because we love God so much.
That's right.
Love to worship God. Dr. Shah loves to study and teach about God. Ryan loves to teach kids and youth and students about God. And it's because of that great love that we have for him that we have this desire to do all of these things. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm angry.
Oh.
Really angry.
Why are you angry?
I'm starting the day off bad.
I hate that for you on Friday.
Yeah, and it's bad because I just talked about how much I love the Lord. And
sure.
I do love the Lord, but right now I'm a little bit absolutely livid.
What?
Well,
why? Please tell.
Self. So.
Oh no! So you're mad at yourself.
I'm mad at myself.
Love the Lord. I'm mad at me.
I love the Lord. He's been good to me. I was foolish, and I made a big, big tactical error.
What have you done?
For Christmas, my wife, and Ryan, and my family, and my mom and my sister all pulled their resources together, and they got me the complete works of Agatha Christie, right? Brilliant, brilliant author. I love her murder mysteries. I'm reading The Murder of Roger Ackroyd right now. It's her fourth novel in the Hercule Poirot series, and I was reading it, and the setup was fantastic. Like, even I think that novel was written in like the 30s or the 40s or something like that. Hang on one second. Let me look it up. Murder of Roger Ackroyd date. It was in 1926. And I'm telling you, in 2023, I'm into it, right? It's getting so good. So I look on the back cover And it says, this is Agatha Christie's most controversial novel. And I go, ooh.
Oh.
A little bit of controversy.
Do tell.
Do tell. You know I'm into that. So I Google, why is Agatha Christie, spoiler alert, by the way, I'm going to spoil the heck out of this book. I Google, why is the murder of Roger Ackroyd so controversial? And then I type in all caps, spoiler free, because I'm into this. I don't want to get spoiled, right? The very first hit on the on Google was this. Why is the murder of Roger Ackroyd so controversial? Considered to be one of Agatha Christie's most controversial mysteries, the murder of Roger Ackroyd breaks all the rules of traditional mystery writing by having the narrator be revealed as the murderer. And I said, bruh, who does that?
I said, spoiler free.
Who does that? I said, spoiler free, dude.
Also, before you come for us, like, hey, I was going to read that. It was written in 1925. Calm down.
Yeah, that was in the 20s. You were not going to read that. And even if you were, I guess I kind of goofed up, but I went looking for it. I went looking for something that I didn't want. And you know what my mom told me when I was a little kid? Never snoop. Because if you snoop, listen to this, you always find what you're looking for.
Mm.
I'm going to say it one more time.
Now that's advice from Mama Galantis.
Never snoop. Because you always find what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got to sit here and read the whole rest of this book.
Knowing that you already know the major twist.
That
that's
I know
terrible.
The
I hate that
twist.
For you.
And it would have been the greatest twist ever.
I hate that for you. And I think I hate even more that you only have yourself to blame.
I have only myself to blame. My wife feels no sympathy for me. I told her. I said, I've done this terrible, terrible thing. And she's, because she's planning on reading them next. And she said, you better shut your mouth. Don't you dare say a word more.
You better close your entire mouth talking to me.
I said, I accidentally spoiled, I said it this morning as I was leaving. I was like, I accidentally spoiled Roger Ackroyd. She said, shut your mouth.
If you handle fire, you're going to get burned.
I did.
Yeah.
I felt like I could indulge just a little bit and just get my little thrill of, ooh, I'm looking behind the scenes, and straight up it got spoiled for me.
There you go.
And I knew what I was getting into.
Yeah, that'll preach. That's a good illustration.
Yeah.
Sins that way as well. I wonder if Dr. Shaw has ever spoiled anything for himself.
I don't know that he really cares about spoilers like that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine that like the first time he watched Tombstone, like he wouldn't really want to know how things wound up.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's based on history, though,
so you kind of already know.
I'll ask him, because I told him about this earlier when we were getting coffee, and he was like, well, you only have yourself to blame.
That is true.
True.
252-582-5028. Let us know if you have ever spoiled something for yourself.
And tell us what it was.
Yeah. Also, so we can avoid it. Visit us online at clearview.com.
Yeah, don't spoil like the new movies coming
out. Don't give us the spoiler. You're suffering. Don't make us suffer along with
you. That's right.
Misery does not love company. Write in and let us know, or visit us online, clearview.com. We'll be back after this.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
Hashtag Clearview Today. The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian talk radio.
And listen, we know we're not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com. Or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, I'm still in a state of mourning over spoiling my beloved Poirot, my detective. I was telling you about spoiling the murder of Roger Ackroyd.
Oh, yeah.
I looked up the... I didn't look up the ending, but it got spoiled for me.
He's been in a dour state.
I've still got... The thing is, I'm like you, I've still got to finish the book. Yeah, but I know who did it. And I feel like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Have you ever had something spoiled for you, or have you ever spoiled something for yourself?
Spoiled for me? Yes.
You had something spoiled for you?
It happened after my PhD graduation.
Oh.
So.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So.
You bringing up some bad
people around here, staff, decided to throw a surprise party for me, which is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was awesome. But they used the email mm-hmm. from the church to send out emails to everybody.
Now, Pastor Shaw. Yeah.
Whoever, they try to invite.
Yeah. Are you, that's odd to me because I believe that you are a member of that mailing list.
But they took me off the list.
They took you off the list. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't realize that, you want to tell the story, Ryan?
Sure.
Because it was you, huh?
I would love to tell the story because this was 100% me.
I forgot all about this.
So Nicole and I cooked this plan up. Like, surprise party for Dr. Shaw. Great. Love it. No problem. Let's use the mailing list because mm-hmm. we can easily communicate with everybody and we can go in there and remove Dr. Shaw as a recipient. So it's going to go out to everybody. We'll remove it from posting on Facebook. That way, no,
we're going to
keep it. No, this was me.
Oh.
Yeah, Nicole doesn't take the fall for this. Right. Ooh. This is 100% me. Nicole was like, we need a way to let people know. I was like, got it. No problem. So I take Dr. Shaw off the mailing list. In my head, this is going to go to everybody. It's not going to post to social media. Flawless. Love it. Uh-huh. Everyone responds, great, wonderful, I'll bring this, we'll be there at that time, fantastic. So we set it up, and then Dr. Shaw walks in and is, oh, yay, a surprise party for me, and you could tell that he's not surprised.
Right, right.
But I still try to act surprised.
You did. You tried to play it up, and I appreciate that. He said, just, for future reference, if you want to surprise somebody, just make sure you remember that I get a report every time that
sent out an email.
Email is sent out. So he didn't get the actual email.
No.
But he got a summary report saying your email campaign for surprise party for Dr. Shaw.
Said do not tell him.
Do not tell Dr. Shaw. And it was sent right to his inbox.
So the report, he's an admin on the MailChimp.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I started that whole account back in 2010. So I've been the administrator of that account for 13 years.
Yep. Wow.
When this happened, it was like 9 years.
Yeah.
I had no idea he got a report email until that moment. I was like, wow, what a way to find this out.
So I'm not going to dump any blame on Nicole. I will say this. I have noticed that Nicole has... So this was his graduation party, right?
Yes.
It was not his birthday party.
Yes, yes.
To be fair to you, Nicole has thrown Dr. Shaw a surprise party every year on his birthday since I've known him. And every year she's like, no, we really need to surprise him because he's not been surprised by any of the last like 8-9 birthday parties. And I'm like, that's
so because, why did you think this year would be any
that's because Nicole. And I was like, that's because every year there has been a surprise party. The uh-huh. first few, yeah, he did. Like, he was surprised. He's like, right, but it gets harder and harder every year. I'm like, because it's
right.
a pattern.
It's a recurring date.
On his
if you want to surprise him in his birthday, surprise him in like February.
Yeah,
like,
well, I was going to say,
happy
like,
birthday.
If you really want to surprise him, don't throw a party.
Right.
That will be a surprise because it's like, oh, I was expecting a party. But like, of
nothing
course.
There. Yeah.
Surprise.
And so this year, she came to us. She was like, all right, I want to throw Dr. Shaw a surprise party. I was like, I know, a surprise party. I was like, why don't we just let the venue be a surprise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we know there's a party coming. So to be fair, well, that was a graduation
party. Yeah, that was a graduation party. Yeah. Nicole came to me. She was like, how can we surprise him? I was like, I got it. here's your surprise on a silver platter.
It's
let me deliver
really,
it to
it's
you.
It's just really hard because it's gotten to the point where it's like one of us will come up and it's like, hey, Dr. Shaw, let's ignore the fact that it's your birthday. Could you, for no reason, walk with me to check something out in the fellowship hall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The speaker is going bad, and for some reason, I need your help looking at it.
Yep. Isn't that why I hired you?
Absolutely. Well, I know, but
it is, but I would really love another set of eyes.
Yeah. You want me to go there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and, I'll go there.
it's very important that you act surprised by the speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like Dr. Shaw David is hurt. He's just on the floor of the fellowship hall.
He's injured.
In pain.
Help!
Like,
help!
Yeah.
I do want to say, I don't want to go too far off topic, but you passed that trait on to your daughter Abigail from like even when we were in Arizona that we tried to surprise her for like the proposal that mm-hmm. Jared was gonna do whole time she knew what was coming
something. Oh yeah.
It's just a funny like something's happening
yeah
I'm kind of clocking it
just A blessing and a curse, I guess it is.
Yeah. That's true.
I wonder what it's like for God, like, to not even be able to be surprised. Like,
yeah.
Like, everything is completely under your watch. And, you know, we were talking about that setting up for this episode a little bit, how God is just so unlike us.
Yeah.
In some of those ways, it's almost impossible to fathom. And it's almost completely impossible to comprehend his magnitude and his glory. So what we end up doing is taking those attributes and just copying and pasting them to the ideal version of myself.
Yeah. We map our traits onto God and then, you know, sort of unintentionally, or maybe even sometimes intentionally, create God in our image versus the other way.
The things in us that are a fault or a problem or a liability are actually God's greatest attributes.
Mm.
So for me to be jealousy and envy are different things.
Right.
Okay? Just so people know that. Jealousy is, I have something I'm not going to share with you. Like a jealous boyfriend, right? It's not a good trait. Envy is, you have something that I want.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different thing.
That's right.
God is a jealous God. He will not allow you to, he will not share his glory with another.
Right.
Right? He wants you to worship him. He wants you to be all for him. In us, it's like somebody who is overbearing and controlling and just this person who has control issues. But God can do that, and he's perfectly justified because he is holy.
Right.
And then, of course, there are other attributes of God as well, where for us, it's a problem, it's a fault, it's a failure. But for God, it is something good.
Right.
Yeah.
We oftentimes get that mixed up, because I think God is so mysterious to us in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
We sort of try to parse out where our attributes line up with him. When, yes, we are made in God's image, and yes, there are similarities. Yes, there's a spiritual family resemblance, but God is wholly other. He is completely different than us. And, you know, if we try to reduce him to us on a good day, only a lot bigger, it's diminutive. It's reductionist.
One of the things that I think about a lot is that episode where Jesus clears out the temple and he turns over the tables and he drives them out with a whip. And so I'm thinking of all the times I've lost my temper and I've been moved to anger and I just have completely lost my stack.
Yeah.
And then I compare it to that, and people will always say, but that's not the same. It's righteous anger. He had a great reason. So it was like the message I think we're sending is, got it. I just have to justify why I'm doing this. And if the reason makes sense, but it has nothing to do with this, because he's God, and that's
holy
anger.
You lost control.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You allowed your selfishness, or even in those moments where you lose your temper, you may have a good motive that you are trying to raise your child well, or you're trying to be right about that bill, or somebody's overcharging you. I mean, you're right in that moment, but you are not right for losing your temper.
Right.
God is right for his righteous anger in wanting to punish sin, and the punishment of sin is death.
Right.
Somebody has to die. Well, that's a little too much. Well, anger out of control in me is a problem. Righteous anger with God is actually a holy attribute.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He is not like me. And the passage that really encapsulates that is Psalm 50 and verse 21. God lists, or Asaph, who we're going to look at him in just a moment, he's listing a bunch of things that God says to the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says in verse 21, these things you have done, and I kept silent. Now listen to this. This is so powerful. You thought that I was altogether like you.
Oof.
But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes.
Wow.
Man.
It's one of my favorite passages. You thought I was like you.
Yeah, you thought you were going to create me in your image.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And no.
Yeah.
No.
Not
I'm going to straighten things out.
Ain't going to work. It's crazy, because I can list off so many sins that I justify. And again, going back to that Jesus example, he wasn't righteous because he did it for the right reason. He was righteous because, like you said, he's God. He's holy, and I'm not holy.
Yeah.
No matter how much I like to justify it to myself or pretend that I am holy, I'm not, and I'm never going to be without the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Now, this psalm is a beautiful psalm, by the way, Psalm 50. It's known as a song of Asaph. Who was Asaph? 1 Chronicles 6 tells us he was a worship leader of one of the groups of temple singers established by King David. And he was also in charge of the music when the ark was brought to the temple, built by Solomon. And later there was a musical school named after him. So Asaph was a very important person.
I know a lot of worship leaders listening to this radio show think they got the world on their shoulders. Yeah. Think about that. You're in charge of the music as the ark is being brought into the temple. Like,
you mess up, people die.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, the stakes are pretty high here.
In the road and they touch it, dead.
Yeah, I'm getting stressed out because the lyrics aren't in ProPresenter. Imagine that.
Yes, right. I lost my sheet music. Try losing your life.
Yeah, I know, right?
But this psalm has been placed right before Psalm 51. If you know, Psalm 51 is the psalm, the penitent psalm or penitential psalm, the psalm of repentance of David after he had sinned with Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet confronted him. But Psalm 50 comes before that, and I believe it's for a reason. And so let's read it in the little time we have. Psalm 50, verse 1, the mighty one, God the Lord has spoken. So right there, he's telling us, you're not God.
That's right.
You're not mighty. God is mighty. He is Lord. And the words in Hebrew are El Elohim Yahweh. And El means the mighty God. Elohim, the creator God who made everything. Yahweh, the merciful God who reveals himself to us and sets us free. Wow. The Redeemer God.
Wow. Three different names.
Powerful, powerful titles.
Yeah.
And then in verse 1, it goes on to say that, and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. I mean, David was a great songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Psalm 23, just
can't beat it.
Pack up and go home.
Yeah. Psalm 51, you're not topping that.
Pack up and go home. But Psalm 50 is not.
Yeah, it's nothing to sneeze at.
That's a sneeze at, yeah. In verse 5. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Selah means lift up or exalt. So what is God saying? First, he is speaking to the righteous among his people. Ryan, you want to read for us verses 7 through 14, what God says to the righteous?
Absolutely. It says, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High.
Wow. I don't need you to go grab my supper for me. It's not that I'm hungry and you're helping me.
I'm not dependent upon you.
I don't need you. I'm not dependent upon you. I am independent. I'm sovereign. With or without you, I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah.
We can't offer our stuff. Even today in 2023, we can't offer our stuff to God in an attempt to sway him.
Right.
Yeah.
And how interesting it is that Psalm 51, verse 16 says, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it to you. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes people look at the book of Psalms and they think they're just randomly just dumped in there.
Mm-hmm.
No, I believe somebody, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, ordered them in a way that if you pay attention to Hebrew words or the context, or I'm sorry, not context, the themes, there is a progression.
Yeah.
And so here, this is exactly what David says just a few verses later in Psalm 51.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But now, listen to what God says to the wicked righteous. John, you want to read it for us?
Verse 16 says, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you?
Again, God is telling them that don't take my name in vain.
Right. Yeah. Right. This is my name. There's power to it.
Yeah.
And you're tossing it around like it means nothing or like it's just some common thing to you.
Yeah. This is very much a how dare you, who do you think you are, and who do you think I am that you can do this?
Right. And if you again go back to Psalm 51 and think about the context, when David finally confessed before Nathan, he said, I have sinned against the Lord. He didn't say, I sinned against Bathsheba. He didn't say, I sinned against Bathsheba's dad. He didn't say, I sinned against Uriah. I sinned against Nathan or the people of God. He said, I sinned against God.
That's a good point, because think about all the times where I've been down and out in life and someone has given me scripture as guidance and I didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't just helpful advice. That's not like a Dear Abby column where someone's just giving me a good tip. That's the word of God. And I've cast it aside. I was like, nah, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, no thanks. I don't need that.
I'll figure it out.
Really?
Yeah.
So then if you don't repent, God does go into detail. And maybe David can read for us in Psalm 50 and verse 18, because now he is calling them out sin by sin. Mm-hmm. He's saying, this is the problem. This is what's happening. So pay attention to the sins that are being listed here. Psalm 50, verses 18 through 20.
All right. Psalm 50, 18 through 20 says, when you saw a thief, you consented with him, and when you and have been a partaker with adulterers, you give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son.
So think about it. Stealing, adultery, being an accomplice, association in committing crime, evil speaking, lying, gossip, smearing, slander,
that's
all
like
that
nine
is.
Nine sins in that little small passage.
Boom, litany of offenses right there.
Yeah.
And God even says, these things you have done, and I kept silent. And then verse 21, you thought I was altogether like you. You thought, well, I mean, God does these things too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God says, I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. I'm not going to let you die.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you disappear. I'm going to make you sit right there and watch me rearrange things and get them in the right order, because this is how it needs to be.
Mm.
And verse 22, this is Psalm 50, verse 22. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver.
Wow.
Powerful.
Yeah, he's not playing around.
No. And then verse 23 kind of gives the solution on how to fix this problem. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God.
Mm.
So praise, can't do praise unless you clean up your sin. And then you will see the salvation of God.
That's right.
Now you are where you need to be. Now we are, I am God, you're not. And I don't approve of those things, but you have sought my forgiveness. Here's my grace through my son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Mm.
I mean, that's a beautiful thing. This is not something I'm superimposing on the passage.
No, that's what it's saying.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. And then Psalm 51 is all about that, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a perfect response to everything that they just laid out in Psalm.
In Psalm 50.
Yeah. That's incredible.
And so Asaph, David, two different people, mm-hmm. two different Psalms. But they have been put together back to back to sort of emphasize, I guess, a very important progression of how God deals with our sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that he is not like us. He sees everything. He's going to deal with sin. But if you praise him, willing to seek forgiveness, then here comes grace. Here comes his forgiveness through his son, Jesus Christ.
Well, what a fitting thing that someone would do that, especially in the book of Psalms, because that's what our worship is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a response to what God has done and said. So God has spoken his word to us through the Bible, and now our response is our praise and or our repentance in the case of Psalm 51.
But. And praise God that he is not like us.
Yes.
I mean, praise God that he doesn't like us. I mean, I can think of all the times in my life where I've fallen short and I've made wrong decisions and I've done things that don't glorify God. If God was like me, there's a long time ago that he would have been like, see ya, like get rid of this guy because he can't keep his act together.
Or I would just know that I ultimately can't trust him because he's going to make mistakes.
Right.
He's going to mess up. He's still learning. He's still developing.
But even in, just like you said, Dr. Shaw, even in that discipline, even in that correction, there's grace.
Yes, absolutely. Grace. We have to end with grace. It's not just with gotcha.
Yeah.
Or I'm about to deal with you.
Yeah.
It comes down to grace and forgiveness, and that's what also makes God different from us.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
So important for us. If today was helpful for you in reframing your view of God, maybe today clarified some things for you, write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Of course, you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, as the new year starts, we want to have you as part of the Clearview Today Show family. Click that donate now button and become part of what God is doing through our show.
That's true, gentlemen. This is the last episode. We're going to see each other in 2023.
Oh, it is.
That's
I completely
it.
Forgot about that.
Next time we sit down at this table, it'll be a new year.
Bon voyage.
Until we meet again.
In just a few days. Enjoy your New Year celebrations. We'll see you on January the 1st, Monday.
That's right.
Happy New Year. Wow, 2024. Lots of exciting things coming up.
Here we come.
Make sure you visit mightymuscadine.com as well. Lots of products for you to choose from, especially as you head into the new year. Maybe you're thinking about wellness goals for yourself. Visit mightymuscadine.com. Use that promo code today, T-O-D-A-Y, upon checkout. A portion of those proceeds will go right back here to the Clearview Today Show. John, what can we expect in 2024?
We can definitely expect more Clearview Today. Going to be talking about goal setting, especially in January, talking about goal setting, growth, progress. These are some of our themes. Maybe how to set a theme for your own church. Start off the year on purpose. Don't play catch up. You don't have to. That's the whole point of the new year, right? Don't be playing catch up anymore. Seize what God has for you.
That's right. We'll see you guys January the 1st, 2024. Love you guys. See you next year.
See you next year
on Clearview Today.